Hour number two of the Blitz starts now on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. And before I go anywhere else, I would be remiss to say a happy Veterans Day to everybody out there. I know I can speak for all four of us right now when I say that we are so grateful to everybody involved in the armed forces, both here in country and fighting overseas. I know all four of us have friends in the military, friends who are maybe even in deployment, but you know, certainly at different bases around the country or maybe even overseas, just like a lot of people do. You know, we keep them in our thoughts and prayers today, much like we should every day. But nonetheless, happy Veterans Day to everybody out there, especially our amazing men and women who are in the, armed forces. But hey, hour number two, here we go. Rick Butler, Brandon Orick, Chance Collins, and Weston Brown. We started the first hour off with Tennessee, breaking down the 17-14 victory they had as they now move to 5-5 on the year, 3-3 in conference play. And I want to start this conversation right here with the quarterbacks. And again, I don't want to make a big quarterback controversy out of nothing, because I don't know if there is. The truth is that I'm undecided right now about how I feel. On one hand, I think the definite majority of me still most absolutely wants Brian Maurer to start when the Missouri game rolls around. I think he's the best quarterback on the roster. I think he's probably the most talented. But at the same time, you kind of look at what JG was able to do yesterday. You wonder how much maybe things have started to change for him. You wonder how much a road environment versus Missouri might throw Brian Maurer off of his game. I think that maybe contributed a little bit to it. But again, Brian Maurer also went 21 days without playing a real game snap of football. But what do you guys think about this? What do you think about the Tennessee quarterback situation right now? Brian Maurer started the game on Saturday. He played the entire first half. His stats on the day for that half were, let me see. That's loading right now. But, Brandon, I'll just ask you while I'm pulling this up. What are kind of your initial thoughts on this? On how Tennessee has been handling it, on who should start, whatever you want to go with it?
I don't really think it matters. I'm fine with whoever. They've kind of taken the approach of, it's kind of similar to Florida back in the 90s with Spurrier, just kind of switched. I mean, not switching as much as they did, but just kind of going with the guy who has the hot hand. I mean, when's the last time we played one quarterback from start to finish in a game?
I guess, he even came out Mississippi State too. Haven't done it in a while.
And I know some of those are due to injury. Some of those are due to injury, but I don't think it matters. I think you've got two guys, maybe even three, that can win you a game if you need to. And they're kind of taking the approach, okay, let's start Maurer. Maurer's doing okay. Offense starts to sputter late in the first half. All right, Garantano, you're in.
Yeah.
And then the offense takes off from there. You take the lead and you win the game. I'm not concerned about it. I don't care who they start. I think, everybody was mad at JG after the play at Alabama, but I think most fans have moved past that, and I mean, I know a lot of us. I'll speak for myself, but. Said that we were done with JG, didn't want to see him play another snap. But you don't win that game Saturday, I don't think, without JG.
Well, and I think that was evident even going back to a week ago as well, right? With the not a week ago, but what was this game that I'm looking at here? The South Carolina game. Right, like I think that after that game, and I said this last week, that I really truly believe that JG was your best backup quarterback. Like I think that he is absolutely the best guy who can come off the bench for Tennessee. And I got a little bit of flack for that, but I think that one of the biggest things that you saw this weekend was, and I've been harping on it all day, is just the experience to know how to handle that situation. And I think that that gives JG kind of a lot of credibility coming off the bench, especially over a guy like Trout, who, you know, some people, especially before Saturday's game, a lot of people wanted to see Trout as the second quarterback behind Maurer, right? But it's tough to walk into what is a hostile environment and play two guys who really have little to no experience in the grand scheme of things. And I think that's why it's so important to have Garantano on your roster. I don't know what it's going to remotely look at like come 2 weeks from now when they play Missouri. But you're right. Like, until then, I'm looking at both our quarterbacks and I'm saying, okay, look, let's be real. They both have some pros and they both have some cons, right? But what we're getting right now is good play from them collectively. And that's all we need the next two games. Really, that's all you need the next one out of two games. And then you got a couple weeks to practice as Tennessee finally gets back into bowl season.
I want both of them. I want both.
Well, of course. When we were greedy. Can you imagine going 7-5 right now? It felt like a astronomical pipe.
Well, 7-5 would it definitely be the biggest turnaround on this season, but also it would make some people also say, well, this team could have won 9 games. Clearly.
Yeah.
If you can win this out and you go 7, like,
yeah, clearly, I mean,
you could have won BYU, look, you should have won Georgia State. This team could have won 10 games with a bowl win.
They certainly could have. Weston actually brought up this point, so I'll let you elaborate on it if I don't say it right. But you got to think about it all as well. You know, sometimes there is a theory of sometimes you have to hit rock bottom to see what you have around you, right? I feel like that's just a life lesson that is applicable anywhere in your life. And so this Tennessee team, no doubt about it, hit rock bottom after Florida 4 weeks into the season. And you know what? After Georgia State and BYU, things probably felt pretty rock bottom too. You know, this Tennessee team, certainly talented enough to what we believe could go 9 wins, maybe even 10 wins, considering, you know, you're beating all the teams you're supposed to beat. And then you look at those other two teams and you say, you know what? If you played them now, we think Tennessee certainly would have won. But sometimes, like, you know, maybe that South Carolina, maybe that Mississippi State game, maybe it would have gone a little differently had Tennessee not had the, you know what, this is as bad as we've seen it. We have to come together or else there is nothing. This is the lowest possible point. And maybe if you don't have that kick in the pants, maybe if you don't have that reminder of, hey, you are looking at historically embarrassing performances right now from your team, the one that you are on, if you don't fix it, I wonder how much that played. But all that being said, we don't really know. But Chance, you're certainly right. It is kind of crazy to look back on this season and think that Tennessee was talented enough and certainly was almost there to getting to a number that was more than any of us imagined during the offseason. Or yeah, at least that was like where the barometer was at, right? Which is typically over in La La Land. The barometer can be off a little bit. But yeah, when you look at these quarterbacks, something that I was also really impressed by on Saturday was Garantano's, I felt like, his pocket awareness, which is something that he has certainly struggled with, that you really saw a lot of good moments of good and smart decision-making. How many times have we seen Garantano stand in the pocket and just wait too long and either throw a bad pass or just get sacked? And maybe a fumble, maybe an injury, but it's typically a huge hit.
Over 75% of the dropbacks of his career.
That is a ridiculous number. Is that, and that's real, right? Like, I'm
no,
assuming,
I just, I'm,
oh,
made
oh,
that.
I thought you
no.
had that. No. I, well, you
90%
said that, so
of stats are made up, Rick, by the way.
Okay, fair enough. Well, they also say numbers never lie. That number did lie. But you're right, it is high. You said that so confidently that I was like, oh my God, he knew that. That was great.
And he looked at his computer like, you know, he was looking at the stats.
Yeah, yeah, and then he looked up at, okay, but anyways.
No, I'm looking at it.
The answer is a lot, though, right? But what I was really impressed by on Saturday in the second half there was a lot of instances of quick passes, making progressive reads, and then one of the most important things, he looked like he knew how to take off and run the ball when he needed to. Chancey, I think you mentioned earlier, maybe for the first time.
He looked like the number one dual threat that he was recruited as.
He looked like the number one dual threat like he was recruited as because he
No, like, just, I'm saying, like, he had some runs where he looked like, oh, this kid can actually run.
It looked smart. You were like, hey, that's a great read right there. Maybe he's still slow. Maybe he's a few steps too slow, but, you know, when you make the read, that's at least more than.
Like, he actually got out of the pocket, like what Rick's saying. He actually made reads where he should have ran. He actually was confident and was diving for first downs and trying to get reaching for the first instead of sliding like he normally would. I'm telling you, man. It's either somebody, coach, a parent, told him to wake the bleep up, or he's got a significant other lately.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You know what I mean there?
Things a little more relaxed, you know, taking some of the edge off, the pressure off. I understand.
Everybody knows what I mean there.
Chance.
Maybe the old Tiger Woods method?
Maybe.
Sure.
Hey, whatever is working for him.
Yeah, whatever's
doing it, don't stop. Him and his Chubbs hand, whatever. his Happy Gilmore Chubbs hand. That was a nice tweet.
That was a good tweet. Chance, you said that, you know, you didn't know who it was who really kind of, you know, sat him down and likely said, hey, get it together or get off. I don't know who it was, somebody, but I want to imagine.
Maybe it was himself.
Sure. Self-motivation certainly could have been it. Personally, I want to imagine that it was Jeremy Pruitt, right? And part of that goes back to a quote from Darrell Taylor from Pruitt on Saturday. When Tennessee was down 10 going into half, they were down 13-3. This is what Darrell Taylor had to say. Speaking about Jeremy Pruitt, quote, he told us it was the worst first half we have ever played. And he was correct because we did play bad. Jeremy Pruitt clearly is not a person who is afraid to say what's on his mind, right? And afraid to say
what
he
wants.
And he's not, and I do not think that Jeremy Pruitt, especially when you get the media cameras away, you know, and you are right there with the team and the players and the coaches. Like, I don't think Jeremy Pruitt is a guy who will sugarcoat things. I don't think he is soft. I don't really think he cares about, you know, how well the players receive some sensitive talk, right? Like, I think Jeremy Pruitt's going to tell you exactly how it is. Clearly, like, he told the entire team, you know, telling them that this is the worst half of football he's ever seen them play. And I want to imagine that that's kind of the same route that he took with Garantano. And if it is, and if these are continued stories that we're hearing about him kind of in how he's approaching the team, how he's handling the team, I love this kind of stuff. I love hearing quotes from Darrell Taylor saying, Jeremy Pruitt sat them right down in the locker room and said, hey, worst half of football we've ever played. I love that. Because I think that there's probably coaches who, you know, who wouldn't say that. Because, you know, that's, I think that the way that some coaches could say that certainly, you know, could come off as, it doesn't get the message across the right way. Pruitt, though, I don't believe it. I love the way that he's going about these things.
Yeah, I mean, Garantano's had comments before where he talks, they have a very, him and Coach Pruitt have a very good relationship, and that Pruitt does coach him hard.
Coach him hard, and Pruitt's had his back generally this entire time too. So he's one thing fans and even when it looked like the players, you know, kind of like weren't looking at Garantano as the same quarterback that he was last season and didn't have a lot of faith in him. Pruitt has been his biggest supporter.
He certainly has. He has not given up on JG through all the thick and thin. But hey, it is what it is. Tennessee 5-5 now. But that kind of puts a bow on the Tennessee talk for the day. Again, we got 2 weeks to talk about this team for the next before the next game. Plenty of time. Where do you guys want to go next? You want to talk about college football? Talk about that huge game that happened? Or NFL, couple of the upsets first? You're shaking your head to NFL. You're saying yes. Bring me the college football.
Yes.
All right.
I say NFL. Fish.
Oh, my guy.
CFL.
Oh, my God.
All right, and I vote XFL. So who knows? Who knows what we're coming back
Wild
with?
Card.
I guess it'll be a surprise. It'll either be college football, professional football.
The XFL.
The XFL, or Canadian football. Take your picks. We'll see you on the other side.
If they lose before then, that's what's going to get them in trouble.
So you're saying if they lose?
If they were to lose to Ole Miss this weekend or somebody else like on the way to the SEC title game, that might cause a stir. Like Minnesota, what if Minnesota wins out?
And yeah, then, they're in.
Yeah, I mean, if Minnesota wins out, then they take Ohio State's place. Yeah.
Man.
Which is crazy to think.
Fighting PJ Flex.
I really want 1 year where we just get the four best teams in. I really want it. It feels like every year there's at least one just blowout dud in the semifinals, which really sucks.
One of these top four teams is going to blow again.
There's only two semifinals. Like, the semifinals start the playoffs, and so when you do get one of these duds, it's just so stupid.
So who do you think?
That's been my biggest problem with the college football playoff. Every single year it seems like there's been one game where you're just like, how in the hell is this representing the best of college football? Because it's not. It's just flat
out. Georgia should have got in last year.
Well, anybody but Notre Dame pretty much. But like, I know that obviously, you know, these games, it's not wrestling, right? It's not scripted. They can't do that. Obviously, if a team goes out in there and just has a dud, there's nothing anybody can do about that. But it just feels like we're always almost there with who many people feel like are the top four teams. And then I feel like when you're done with the playoffs, you look back and you're like, well, that team certainly shouldn't have made it. That's been my biggest problem so far. But I don't know how to fix that. I have no idea how. You have way to me, the playoff systems, it is messed up right now. You have too many conference champions. You have too many teams who are in that one-loss category that it gets so hard to really kind of go in and pick and choose what for, because there's always teams who are right there just being like, there's legitimately no reason that four team should have made it over us. There's so many great teams.
Well, you're always the teams that are left out, no matter how many teams you expand to, the teams that are left out are always
going to be right there.
I don't know. I mean, I think.
But there's a drop. But if, like, say you went to 8, which I don't even know if I'm for 8. I really don't think I am for 8. I don't know what my solution should be. If you do go to 8, I think the drop-off between 8 and 9 is much bigger, is more widespread than the drop-off between 4 and 5.
What about this? What if Georgia beats LSU
in the championship?
In the championship.
Okay.
Minnesota beats Ohio State. Baylor beats Oklahoma this week and goes undefeated, and Oregon wins out.
Sure.
And Oregon wins out. And Oregon wins out.
Baylor is still undefeated, right?
Yeah.
Can you leave out an undefeated Big 12 champion if they so make it? If they can beat Oklahoma?
Yes.
I think they might.
It's happened before.
I don't think you can. I don't think you should. It might be this might be the year that pushes them to take it to 6 or 8 teams.
That's why I hope it's chaos. I hope
it might be the year that it pushes them to go to 6 to 8 teams sooner than later.
People are going
to
be big mad. You know that's
going to happen. I mean, Baylor goes undefeated and you keep them out, and then Minnesota beats Ohio State, like, it's going to be, and like you say, if Georgia beats LSU in the SEC championship, and then if Oregon wins out, how are you going to keep Oregon out too? You going to keep Oregon and Baylor out undefeated?
Yes.
Look at you, SEC man.
But that's the thing, though, right?
You're telling me that that Alabama or LSU or Georgia, whoever, would not beat the brakes off of Baylor or Oregon?
Oregon beat, what? Or then they lost to Auburn, didn't they?
Yes.
That's their one loss.
But at the same time, like, the issue is that there's 5 Power 5 conferences that are going to have champions. There's 4 spots.
And then what if they all have one loss?
Right, and then there's multiple one-loss teams who are not in any of those championship victors who also deserve it. It's a disaster.
It's going to be chaos.
I honestly don't like it. Like, to me, this is stressful. No part of the college football selection is fun. Like, a lot of people have a lot of fun with it. You know, trying to figure out.
Well, would you rather have the BCS?
No.
So what do you want?
I don't know.
I think 8 teams.
I don't know how to fix it.
You got to do 8 teams.
I think 6 to 8.
I think 8 is good.
Have your 5 Power 5 in there.
2 at large,
and then
I'm actually, you know, I'm fine with 3 at large. To hell with the group of 5.
Yeah.
I do not need them in the playoff. I don't.
Sometimes
if there's a team from the group of 5 that deserves it, then they can get an at-large bid. I don't like giving them an automatic bid.
No, if you have like that UCF team that's undefeated.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
And you, because you could have a year, you could have a year where all, like, there's no outstanding group of five team that does not deserve to make it, and it's just a waste of a spot.
Yeah, like who are the contenders for that this year?
Like this year, it would be Cincinnati and Memphis. Cincinnati, Memphis, Boise State, and SMU. Yeah. Those are your, they're all kind of grouped together right there, 17 through 20. All have one loss. And none of those teams deserve to make a, if you had an 8-team playoff and there was an automatic bid for a group of five teams, none of those teams deserve to be in. All of those teams would get waxed by whoever they played. Cincinnati, who is the best of the teams that I just named, got beat 42-0 by Ohio State. No one wants to see that in the playoff.
Yeah. I think the 8-team, I think the 8-team playoff, A, devalues the regular season, and I think B, it
how? How does it devalue?
I think it makes those November games worth even more. I mean, it's because it's the top eight,
but
you
we're,
know.
But we're,
I mean,
talking
we're talking
about
these. We're talking about the top four teams right now. I mean, go down to number eight. All these teams still only have one loss. I don't see how that devalues the regular season if you let eight. I mean,
well,
the only two-loss team that's even close to the top ten is Florida.
Look back at the game we were just talking about, LSU-Alabama. What were they? What were they fighting for? Essentially, their spot in the playoffs. We all said the loser was going to have an extremely tough road to the playoffs, and we are sitting about this talking right now. Hey, how the hell is Alabama going to make it back into the playoffs without a couple miracles happening? None of us really know the answer to it, and it's weird that we're saying that about the University of Alabama, who has been the juggernaut of college football for the last decade, and we're legitimately talking about how they might not get into the playoff after one loss. That one game was so important to the playoffs because that essentially decided, you know, who between the two of them were going to go. If you have an 8-team playoff, well, then that game is just like, well, let the better team win. We're trying to all get to the SEC championship, but the loser is still safely in the playoffs. The loser's fine. Like, they'll still have to win out and they'll still have to play well. But Alabama's still good. They're still going to make it. If LSU lost, they would still make it. Not this way, though. That one game decided that entire, or likely, kind of that whole SEC West.
Now what if Will Muschamp were to upset Clemson at the end of the year? He already beat Georgia.
They just lost to Appalachian State.
Appalachian State was ranked in top 25 because they lost to a measly Georgia Southern. They were on track to have a pretty good year. Just saying, Brandon.
Get out of here. Not Muschamp. AM back here on the Blitz, and a little bit of breaking news right off the bat. Brandon, what do you got for us?
November 23rd, Tennessee will be taking on Missouri, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on the SEC Network.
So we have another night game.
Another night game. Tennessee, Missouri, 7:30.
You're right.
I feel like we always play them at night.
It does. It does feel like we always play Missouri late at night. Hey, that game is going to be freezing cold. And, oh, man, that could be an ugly game, man. That's going to be cold. A Missouri team who is just so unbelievably beat down right now. I mean, they just got skunked by Georgia, 27-0. They're on a four-game losing streak. Things are bad in Columbia, Missouri. Tennessee will go down a night game, though.
Things are cold in Columbia, Missouri right now.
Is it snowing?
Yeah. 24 degrees is the high.
Oh! Would you like a little bit of Knoxville weather for tomorrow?
Why?
It's supposed to snow.
Is it?
Is
this supposed to be... tomorrow's when it's supposed to be bitterly cold, right?
Yeah, so tomorrow, it looks like it might have actually got changed. The high is now 34, but you're still right there. And then you're going to get a bunch of rain this morning. So, when you're going to your car tomorrow for work, right there in the morning, you're probably going to need a little, what is it called?
A jacket?
The thing?
A scraper?
No, not a jacket. Well, yeah, you'll need a jacket. Yes, the scraper. Thank you. The ice scraper. The, you know, you get the ice off.
A credit card.
Yeah. We've all been there. We've all been there. Good snow tomorrow. That'd be pretty cool.
It's not good snow.
Just kidding. I hate the snow. The snow stinks, man. Ugh, what a mess. It's just it's annoying. It's too cold. Your shoes and your socks get wet.
Mr. Christmas hates snow.
Yeah. Damn. What do you have to say for yourself?
Damn. You got me there. You got me there. Fellas, good games yesterday in the NFL, including I got to think about this. Maybe one of the biggest upsets of the year. Maybe the biggest upset of the year. The Titans over the Chiefs from Nissan Stadium. Patrick Mahomes throws for like 450 yards.
That wasn't even the biggest upset of the day.
Which one am I missing?
Falcons beating the Saints.
Oh, you're right. Man, and the Saints just gave away that game too. I mean, that looked like just a sorry team for whatever reason. Falcons showed up to play. Give them credit. The Saints absolutely did not show up to play. And that's what happens, especially in a division game. I think you look at the Titans game, though. You give the Titans all the credit in the world for coming out to play a hell of a game versus the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, unlike the Saints, did not really lay down for them. I mean, again, Patty threw for 450 yards. That Chiefs team, they were playing Chiefs football that whole game. Titans still go out and beat them at home. What a win. What a win for Nashville. What does that do to the AFC South standings? Because, Brandon, your team took one on the chin yesterday.
They did.
It's just got to be said. Because if we're talking about the AFC South, it's got to be said. They took one on the chin.
You leaving?
No, I'm not leaving.
Can you explain yourself? Because I mean, hey, when the Cowboys
explain myself
when the Cowboys lost to the Jets,
myself, I had nothing to do with this.
No. When the Cowboys lost to the Jets on this show, I got obliterated.
Yeah, your Cowboys were at full strength.
No, they weren't.
Who wasn't there? Who
was not? Amari Cooper, Tyron Smith.
No.
Your left tackle, your number one wide receiver. You lost to the Dolphins yesterday. It wasn't good.
The Dolphins suck.
First of all, were you all not the Jets' first win?
Also
Jets
true.
Looking pretty good.
Also
Jets
true.
They have the right same now. Amount of wins as the freaking Dolphins, okay?
Jets are on a win streak right now. Jets are looking up.
No, they're not.
I don't know about all right, that,
fine,
Rick.
They're not. Whatever.
They've won the same number
whatever.
Of games.
Cowboys ain't looking too good either. They took one last night.
Yeah.
We took one on the chin, too.
Yeah. Your team sucks, too.
They were a Super Bowl favorite.
Our coach sucks.
And
our coach sucks. Dak Prescott's the truth.
You want me to defend my team? You want me to defend my team?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
For one, Jacoby Brissett was out, and we had to run out bum-ass Brian Hoyer.
Bum-ass.
He sucks.
Pretty bad.
Also, T.Y. Hilton didn't play.
He hasn't played the last 2 weeks.
No.
Have we
so
ever,
our two best offensive players were out.
Have we ever discussed that Jacoby Brissett is a Gator?
He's not.
Went to Wolfpack. Was his last year.
He is a
still a Gator.
Once a Gator, always a Gator.
Mm-hmm. Not
it's something
true.
In the water.
It's not
no,
true.
It is. There's something in the water there. It sticks in your bones.
It's not true.
It is true.
No, it's not. Tell that to Doug Dickey.
I mean,
he's still a Gator.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Weston. Thank you. What else happened in the NFL yesterday? Let's look at some of these. Oh my goodness, guys! Lamar Jackson, total video game character. This is what happens when you go into Madden and you go to the create a player and you go to the attributes tab and you just go on every single bar. You just hold the left analog stick to the right. And you wait for each one to fill up for 99. That's Lamar Jackson on a real NFL field. On a real field. This guy is unbelievable.
Yeah.
He is Michael Vick 3.0.
3.0?
Yeah, you know, when Vic came back after his prison, they were like, Vic 2.0. He's Vic 3.0. He's the third coming.
I think Michael Vick dreams of being like what Lamar Jackson is.
No, there's a time where Vic.
I think he does.
That's a little blasphemous, Rick.
I think Lamar Jackson is far better than Michael
Vick.
That's
a little early.
Already. I think he
That's crazy. That's crazy. Come on, man. Not already. Now, is he looking like he might be better than Vic? Yeah, he's looking that way. And that run he had yesterday was amazing.
Oh, with the spin move?
That was very reminiscent of when Michael Vick, in his first year, I'm pretty sure, had the run to where he in overtime against the Vikings, and he splits the linebackers, and they run into each other, and that was the score. I know you guys are very young. Y'all are very young when that went down, but Google it. Look it up on YouTube. Michael Vick splits the Minnesota linebackers to win the game in overtime. One of the greatest runs you'll see, especially to win a game. But is he? He's on the trajectory where he looks like he could be better than Michael Vick one day. But to say it right now, that's a little tough.
It's a little soon.
I think
little soon.
He's not even been in the league 2 full years.
Yeah. I feel like you can make an argument that he is the hardest quarterback to prepare for right now. He is the.
You can make an argument for that, but you said that he was better than Michael Vick already.
I stand by that.
That's not true.
I think
he's not even played 2 full years in the league.
I think his game right now is at the absolute peak of the dual threat quarterbacks in the league. Like I think that he and we've seen a
but
lot.
But to
of
say that
ones,
he's better than
recently.
Michael Vick without playing 2 full seasons,
that's tough, Rick.
I mean, I'm not spanning their careers. I'm just saying that, like, I think that Lamar Jackson already what he's doing is up there with anybody, and I think better than most people. I think Lamar Jackson is one of the hardest quarterbacks to stop going right now. Like, I think he's one of the hardest players to stop. We thought that Patty Mahomes was the most dynamic thing to hit the NFL in the last decade last year, and he still is. But I think Lamar Jackson is even more dynamic than Patty Mahomes. Patty Mahomes has more of the arm. I think Lamar Jackson has more of the legs. But both of these guys are just literal cheat codes. And I desperately hope that a Mahomes-Jackson could turn into one of the NFL's next great rivalries.
Mahomes, I hope so, too.
Mahomes wasn't a cheat code yesterday.
He was not.
Or when the Colts played him.
You got to be the Titans.
He was a cheat code yesterday. What are you talking about? He threw for 450 yards.
He still lost.
And like four touchdowns.
He lost.
To the Titans.
Hey, the cheat code never said win. The cheat code was just to be good.
Lost. Who do you lose to, Chance?
The Titans. The Raiders are only one game back of the Chiefs right now.
One game.
Hey, the Raiders might be all right.
They're 500 or above 500 maybe.
Raiders might be good.
They got the Bungles and the Jets coming up.
Two wins right there. J-E-T-S.
Knock, knock, knock. Down and down, loaded up and trucking.
Are we going to do what they say can be done? We've got back here on the Blitz. As we wrap up the show today, Rick, Brandon, Chance, and Weston. Weston, give me your preview for the Tennessee Lady Volunteers Notre Dame game today.
To be honest, I have not.
Good.
That has not been on my mind.
Thank you for your contribution, Fish.
You were supposed to be the Lady Vols guy.
Yeah, you are a resident Lady Vol expert.
Playing Notre Dame kind of early.
Yes, like a tournament? I knew that they were playing, but it doesn't look good. I think they'll lose.
So. You want an analysis? You want my analysis?
You think they'll lose?
Lady Vols get waxed tonight in South Bend.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Next topic.
Wow.
I didn't have anything after that. It just next topic.
You planned on talking for 5 minutes about the Lady Vols?
No, I was hoping we wouldn't just abruptly end the conversation. Maybe it could have transitioned elsewhere.
No.
Breaking news.
Nope.
Ooh. What is it?
It's not great breaking news. You guys really...
Rick got super excited.
Former Michigan State football All-American. Yeah. And also one-time Detroit Lions wide receiver, Charles Rogers, has died. 38 years old.
I'm not sure who that is.
Who?
You guys are young. He's a really good receiver at Michigan State. He also went on to play a couple years, more than a couple years, I believe, with the Lions. He's drafted the second overall pick in the 2003 NFL draft. You guys should know, but maybe you're too young for it. But yeah, Charles Rogers has died at 38 years old.
Huh. Okay. R.I.P. What? What?
Just say it, Fish.
I can't.
You got a microphone? What?
Nothing.
What are you about to say? All
right, we.
Whoa, what are you about to say?
The standings, you know, the AFC standings.
What about them?
You're an NFC team.
Yeah.
Are you just?
I don't get
on,
what you're
are
trying.
Are you ripping on Brandon?
Say what
team
you
here?
Mean what you say, Fish.
I was just trying to show Brandon something on the team.
I know the standings. You think I don't know the standings? Because I know the standings.
Do you know the standings?
I know the standings.
He knows
are
the
you
standings,
sure you know the
gentlemen.
Standings?
Yes, I'm very aware. We closed out hour one talking about it. I feel like we should close out hour two talking about it. How are you feeling an hour later, Weston?
Just as nervous. I mean, it's...
You've had a lot of people come in this studio today and talk to you about hedging your bet, but you're adamantly against it.
No, yeah. If I had like a lot of money on it, or if it was a spread pick, then yeah, I would hedge. But I'm gonna have to put down so much money to win back just a small amount on the original bet. I'm just gonna let it ride. And you know, if I lose, I lose the 100. If I win, I win $2,000. So I'm just gonna keep it like that.
Wow.
What are your thoughts for tonight's game?
I have no idea. I mean. Nobody does. I don't think it could go any way.
Are you a believer in the 49ers, or are they fake news?
If they win tonight, they're the real deal. I mean,
hot take.
If they take my
hot prediction,
if they take my money tonight, they are the real deal.
Something tells me Seattle could come out and just smoke that ass, though. I mean,
hey, I kind of feel like that too. I feel like this is a game that Russell Wilson will not lose. Russell Wilson knows the importance of this game.
I think San Francisco is a good team, but they're not going to go undefeated. They got to lose sometime.
That's why I picked the Seahawks, because I've been on the Niners all year, but I was like, well, it's got to be at some point. And to the likely MVP, or at least who's going to be in competition for the MVP, seems like that could be a pretty fair time.
The likely MVP, after you just got on here and said that Lamar Jackson was – better than Michael Vick.
Yeah.
You're still saying Russell Wilson should be MVP?
I'm saying there's a ton of season left. Who knows what could happen?
You're confusing me.
Are you telling me that those two are probably not the top two candidates right now?
Well, yeah, but I figured you'd be picking Lamar Jackson. You just said that it was Russell Wilson.
Do you know a name that I heard for MVP yesterday that I laughed at?
Zach Kent.
What?
I would have laughed if somebody had told me that name. I'm just curious.
No, it's NFL.
Someone who actually plays in the NFL.
Kirk Cousins.
You laughed?
I mean, he's good, but I mean,
look,
MVP,
Kirk Cousins,
most valuable player.
Remember when his receivers were all calling him out at the beginning of the season? Because they were like, this guy literally can't get us the ball.
He's revitalized his career.
I don't know. You have not sold me on Kirk Cousins. I don't see it.
Well, fine. Don't. I mean, he's not going to win. It's going to be one of the two that we just named, probably.
Yeah. We have we got a fun end to the NFL season this year. We're what? We're right about the halfway point. I think some teams just finished going right above the halfway point. Some teams might have already had a bye. But it's been an electric first half so far. We'll see what happens the rest of the NFL season. Again, kind of wrapping up the show today as we are about to head out and turn the ball over to Talk Sports with John and Cody and company.
Hand it off. I like handoff instead of turn the ball over.
Hand it off.
Hand it off. No turnovers.
What about a good pitch?
A good pitch, too. Yeah.
Pitch it off.
I like it.
Talk Sports swinging around the right side. We're pitching it off to them. They're hitting the outside corner. They're turning up. They're going about the sidelines. Touchdown. Just like that.
I'm with it.
Hey, we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. You won't want to miss it. These next 2 weeks, we got a lot of Tennessee football to talk, and we definitely want more opinions than just ours. So Man, we're excited to hear y'all's calls during the rest of the week. We'll have Weston for a couple more days. He's going on vacation later this week. Big Monday Night Football game tonight. And I think that's about all I got while I'm rambling at the end here. Hey, Talk Sports coming up next. Thanks so much. For Weston Brown, for Brandon Orrick, I'm Rick Butler. We'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. You've been listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio.